Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, I get to blow this again this week. Yom Kippur, that's the Jewish day of the Day of Atonement. Now, that's not our Day of Atonement, that's their Day of Atonement, but I was atoned for, my sins were atoned for. How about yours? My sins were taken care of through Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and my Savior. How about yours? Amen. And we want to make sure that we honor these days, but at the same time, we want to recognize that atonement is real. There was a lot that was paid for. A lot that he paid for. And we don't need to miss out on any of it. There's a lot of people that will try to dissect the atonement. Say, well, you have this, but you don't have that. You have this and don't have that. Well, when he made the atonement, he made it once and for all. So we want to make sure that we fall into that. Amen. I had a vision. You want to hear it? I saw a car, and it was just going down the road, but it was headed for a destination, but it kept weaving and bobbing. And in the car, there were people in the back seat that represented the church. We were just along for the ride. And the Lord asked me a question in the vision. What do they see? I said, they don't see the future because they're not in the front seat. They can only see what's coming by them. Only what's passing by. Can't see ahead, has no vision for the future, what is coming down the road, just along for the ride. And I asked the Lord about it. And he said, what has to happen is that I'm trying to get my people in the front seat instead of in the back seat. There's a group of people that needs to leave the back seat and get in the front seat so you can see what's coming. So you can see the future. But there's other people that is in the front seat that needs to get under the wheel. God has some of you ready to drive, ready to guide this thing in the direction because you're ready to hear God. There's other people that need to come from the back seat into the front seat because your vision doesn't need to be that, well, it's here and it's gone, it's here and it's gone, it's here and it's gone. That's all you see. But he wants his people to be in the front seat. He wants his people to be able to see a broader peripheral vision, to be able to see what needs to happen, what needs to turn, when you need to slow down, when you need to accelerate, when you need to stop. Some of you are ready to drive. The thing about the fear is we're afraid that we may mess up. Well, don't be afraid of that. You will. It's pretty simple. But you won't always. Did you hear that? It's not that we're promoting that you're going to mess up. It's just a known fact that we are immature in some things, more mature in other things, and he's wanting to grow us up in all things. And all aspects of who he is, that's what Ephesians says. All aspects of who he is, he wants us to grow up in. Not just a few aspects of it, but all aspects of it. God wants to put us in the front seat, and the others he wants to put under the drivers, under the steering wheel. But the problem is there's no back doors. So you're not just going to be able to open the door, walk around, and open a door in the front. There's no back doors. I asked him about that. I said, you're going to have to climb over. I said, why are we going to have to climb over? Have you ever climbed over a seat in a car when you was little? Now, don't be saying you did it just the other day, because some of you don't need to say that, you know. But you ever done that as a kid? Just climbed over it, but you made it. I asked God about it. I said, why do we need to climb over? Why don't you just, you know, let us open, put a door there, let us walk out. Nope, you have to climb over. Why do we need to climb over? He said, you have to climb over, get over your past, get over your failures. If you cannot get over your past and get over your failures and get over your fear, you will not be able to broaden the vision that I have to give you. Amen. How many of you ready to just climb over? How many of you ready to just slide over into the... it's you that you're supposed to slide over and do some driving for a while. You know God's calling you into a leadership role somewhere. You need to just go ahead and surrender to him and say, I really need to do this. How many is that? Who is that in here? Stand up. Stand to your feet if that's you. I know he's been wanting me to get under this thing and take off, but I've just sort of like waited. Father, in the name of Jesus, let that seat become so slick that they can't stay in the other side. Tilt them over to the steering wheel and let them grab hold of what you have for them that they're supposed to lead. Make that deposit today, right now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you need to get out of the back seat and get in the front seat? Go ahead and stand up. You need to go ahead and get out of the back seat and get in the front seat, because your vision needs to be expanded. Your vision needs to be bigger. Your vision needs to, you need to see further. You need to see more. You need to be able to know when to stop. You need to be able to know that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these people. I thank you, God, that you're the one who advances and promotes your people. So, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that whatever it is that they have to climb over, whatever it is that they have to get over, their past, their fears, their failures, I pray in Jesus' name that they will be like a child and just having the excitement of getting over that and being able to see more than what they currently see. And do that in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Well, I want to talk to you today about a little bit about the secret to abundant living. The secret to abundant living. You know, a lot of times we don't really know how to do the things that God wants us to do sometimes. And that needs to change. We need to see his ways. We need to see his acts. But we need to know his ways. We need to know the ways of God. So we'll be able to do the things that will promote abundant living. Abundance in who he is. Abundance in what he has to offer. And abundance in the provisions of heaven. And we need that desperately in this world. We need that in such a bad way, we really do. But if we don't align ourselves with what he's doing, what he's done, and what he's doing, we will not be able to either get over the seat, and we'll not even be able to drive. We're going to have to align. See, we really want to get from point A to point B, and how do we want to get there? We want to get there fast, right? Right? We got to get from point A to point B. We want to go the shortest route, right? And not only that, we want to get there fast. We want to save as much time as possible, and we don't want any hassle on the journey. I thought I'd just throw that in. It probably doesn't fit half of you guys. But we don't want any hassle on the journey. I don't want any kickback. I don't want any kickback on this. You know, I'm following you, God. I don't want any kickback. So just go ahead and give me that, and I'll be okay. And we look at this of going from point A to point B, and we want it, and we think, okay, best thing you can do, God, is just put me in a jet stream. Just go whoosh, like a jet. I'm here. Hey, made it. Real quick, just like that. And then you go get in line to go get your jet, and God's handing out camels. Got one with your name on it. What is this? Oh, that's your ride. You must be, this belongs to Brother John. This don't belong to me. This is John's camel. No, that's your camel, Terry. No, do you know how long it's going to take for me to get from here to there? Yes, I do. The Lord told me one day, he said, I'm just not your destination. I'm your journey. And I'll tell you, he believes in having journeys. He wants you to get to the promised land that only took 2 weeks to get from Egypt to the promised land. 2 weeks. How long did they stay? 40 years. That's a lot of camels. Round in circles and going here, going there. Why? Because God knew that they were not ready. See, it's in the midst of what we're going through that God prepares the authority that you're going to be able to use. It's in the midst of what we're going through. It's in the midst of our journey. It's in the midst of the pressure that we're going in and going through that he's prepping us to be able to handle the authority that he's giving us. So thank God for the camel. But I didn't want a camel. Be grateful for the camel. You could be walking. Doesn't he cover that? Doesn't Isaiah cover that? We shall wait upon the Lord. We'll renew our strength. And what else does it say that we would do? We would, sometimes we will soar like eagles and we'll be able to, but there's other times when he said you'll do what? You'll be able to run and not grow weary, and watch this, walk and not faint. He believes in the journey. He has a lot for us in the journey of going. But we need to understand what are we doing in this journey? Where are we going? We sort of know where we're going, but you know, why is it taking so long? I've been looking for this and looking for that and watching this and watching, and I've been wanting this and wanting that. Well, where is it, God? He says, you're just on a journey. You haven't learned yet. Watch. You haven't learned yet to enjoy me on the journey. You still have such a desire to be where you want to be that you haven't enjoyed me where you are. Does that make sense? You haven't enjoyed me. You haven't enjoyed my presence. Well, they had the cloud. They had the fire. They had food falling from heaven. They had shoes that wouldn't wear out. We're not happy. You get it? Why? Because the whole thing about they're not enjoying the presence of God. Now, even where we are, he is. Therefore, we stumble and we falter along our way, and we wonder where in the world is God in all of this? He's right with you. See, I'm telling you, one of the biggest battles that church fails in so many times, and it's this: intimacy with Him. We do programs very good. When I said we're just talking about the church. The church can do a program and light up the world. But He wants intimacy. He wants to be made known in your life of how you live, or how you present yourself. He wants to be made known in everything that we do. Whether you get, like Brother Lee was saying, whether you get what you desire or not, He wants you to know that He's still God. And He wants to know, what are we going to do when we are not getting exactly what we asked for? It's probably a good thing. So here we go on the journey, and did you know that God initiates everything? God is the initiator. Let me ask you something. Have any of you loved God without Him loving you first? Anybody? Nope. You can only love God with the love that He gives you. He is the initiator. I really feel like what He's wanting us to do is to become first responders. Everybody else is falling back, but His first responders are going in. They're not going to pay attention to the heat. They're not going to pay attention to the chaos. They're not going to pay attention to the pressure. They're not going to pay attention to the assignment by the enemy. They're not going to pay attention to the obstacles. They're going in. Why? We're first responders. Well, why are you going? God said. Why? What are you doing? God said. Why do y'all do things like God said? He wants us to be, see, first responders, they suit up and head out. They're evacuating. They're heading down. Why? First responders. God wanting to raise up first responders. Let me think about it. Well, have you made your mind up yet? No, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. Well, what does God say? Well, I hadn't asked Him yet. First mistake. David made that, right? David went somewhere he wasn't supposed to be. Why? Because he never asked God. He asked Him when the place was burning, but he didn't ask God first at that point in time in his life. So here we go. We're wanting all this trip to be everything. But see, all along the way, God has invaded your space. Did you know God invaded your time space when you became born again? And you know the reason why He invaded your space, your time space, your space of time. We live by time. I mean, we're time this. Everything's by time. You know, He invades our time space just to talk to us. Even when you're a sinner. Even when you didn't know it, He invaded your time space to talk to you. Is that true? How else did you get saved? You didn't come up with it on your own. He invaded your space. Why? He wanted to talk to you. He wanted to speak to you. He wanted to whisper to you. He wanted to reveal the condition that you was in and show you where you could be. So He began to invade it. You know, He left heaven to come to earth. He laid aside being equal with God to become 100% man. He was beaten for us. badly. He died for us, for you and for me. He rose from the grave. I mean, you can just go on and on of all the things that he did, and he sent us the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's got a plan. And his plans are good. He's got a plan. He did all the initiating. We did the responding. And honestly, that's what he wants us to do today. It's what he wants to do in all of our life. He wants us to be first responders, not doubters. Well, let me weigh this out. You know, when God has spoken, you go do it. Does that make sense? When God has spoken, we're supposed to go do that. He initiates everything. 1 John, I'll give you a scripture, but didn't say about time. But anyway, 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. The only reason you can love is because he loved you first. So the love that he gave you, you can give to others. And you can actually give it back to him. That's the only way you're going to be able to love God in the way that he deserves to be loved, is to use his own love loving him. And see, I don't have to work up love. If I have to work up love, watch this. If I have to work up love, it's one of these other four kinds of love that is not unconditional. The one he gives is unconditional. You can't work that up. You either have it or you don't. You're either connected to it or you're not connected to it. But you don't know what they did to me. What did they do to him? Did they treat you worse than they treated him? See, he gives us the very things that he's looking for us to give him. He gives us the very things that he's looking for us to give him. He wants your trust. Well, where are you going to get it? From him. He wants your obedience. Where are you going to get it? You're going to get it from him. Because you and I initiate nothing. He is the great initiator. He is the one that says, I give you everything that I'm wanting back from you, I'm giving to you. Hey, we love because he first loved us. Anybody who says, I love God and he hates his brother, he's a liar. How can he love his brother whom he has seen? He cannot love God whom he has not seen. If he hates his brother who he's looking at, and yet come over on this side and say, I really do love God, I really do. He says, you're lying. He means you're deceived and you're lying because most of the time you don't even know you're lying. Why? Because religion teaches you that you can do that. Religion teaches you that it's okay to do that. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's human. Religion teaches you that you can hold this grudge, or you can do this and this and this and just hang on to it and then say, I really do love God. So religion teaches that. That's not the Spirit of God. But what if? Well, bring it on. What if? Why? Because if they do, you're not giving them something that you're coming up with anyway. You're giving them something that God's given you. The love. Well, whatever it is that we stand in need of, he's already given. He goes on and God takes the initiative and he loves doing it. He loves making the first move. You know, God made the first move on you. You didn't make a move on God. Somebody said, well, I found God. And I said, well, you don't really understand yet. He found you. You just acknowledged he found you. You just lined up with his finding you. Well, how did you do that? He gave you the ability to do it. Listen, have you ever had a child, that's a little child in your family, and it's your birthday, and you give them money to go get you a gift? Raise your hand if I know you know what I'm talking about. You give them money to go get you a gift. That's God. And then when they come back with their eyes all sparkly and their smiles, they got enough oh man, I started to say they got enough mouth for another roll of teeth, but I mean they're walking in with this thing and they're just all over themselves, and just they lay it down, but you gotta wrap it, and they're just like this. And then you open it, and what do you do? Wow! Did you get me that? Did you buy me that? Why? How did that happen? Let me ask you this. How did you even think about doing that? It didn't come from your DNA. The thought process of you even doing that came from him. That initiated out of his heart. That didn't initiate out of yours. That initiated out of his heart, and his heart's in you. Are y'all hearing me? I bought mommy this, you know. I bought daddy this. You know, all the time, they ain't got no money. The only money they got is what I give them. So God knows everything. Everything he's ever needed and wanted from us, he's already given to us so we can have it to give it back to him. See, if that is true, and it is, why is it that we're so wrapped up in this performance issue? That we got to make sure that our performance and how we're doing this in order to be able to appease and to be able to get something that we just get all into this thing about performance. And he said, you can't perform it. You can't perform enough. Your ability to do that is null and void without me. I am the initiator of all things. I give it to you. Y'all hearing the Spirit of God this morning concerning this? See, we have this thing, you know, and we have this thing in us that we feel like if we don't go do something, we do things out of what he's given us. Did you know that God is a God? How many of you know that God loves you? Did you know that God's attracted to you? God's attracted to you. And you know, do you know why and how he's attracted to you? He's attracted to you because of Jesus. He's attracted to you because of his son. He's attracted to you because of his son's blood. Do you know that he wants you to come boldly into his presence, to the throne of grace? He didn't say sheepishly, boldly. How can that be? He gave you Jesus. See, he put you in the one place that he will always be able to look favorably upon you. And that's in Christ. He put you in Christ. He put you in the one place that you can get your prayers answered. He put you in Christ. He put you in the one place that you can always get your needs met by him. He put you in Christ. He put you in the one place where he would always accept you. Everybody say always. 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 He put you in that one place. He put you in Christ. He put you in that one place where he can show his favor without hesitation. He put you in Christ. And on top of that, he gave you a tutor to be able to help you walk out what he's put in you, the Holy Spirit. He's given you a personal teacher. He's given you a personal tutor to be able to teach you. I'm not listening. Well, then you won't be doing any walking. I'm going to do it my way. Well, fine. It'll lead you to death. See, God wanted to be able to accept you, to have you. See, he put you in that one place that all that can happen. And that's in Christ. Say, I'm in Christ. He put me there. He did. He put you there. He put you in those places. Gave you the Holy Spirit to be able to teach you how to live these things out. But you know, the devil is always trying to get you to move from where God put you. The devil is always trying to get you to move from where God put you in Christ. See, when we begin to see and acknowledge that, that gives us, everybody listen, standing in heaven. He gives us standing in heaven. Yes? Yes. Why? Because that's how he sees us. If we don't see it that way, instead of seeing us as a person who is standing, we'll do like what the presidents and governors and everybody else will do. We'll give a State of the Union address. We'll give something about the state of where we are in what's going on, instead of a standing of how God sees us. See, the enemy's always going to come and try to change your state to make you emphasize on what you're going through, why things are this way and why it's so bad and why it's not working. Hey, you're this, you're that, you're nothing. He wants, that's the way the enemy works. He wants you to look at the state of the situation. What is the state of it? Well, it's probably going to look bad. But a standing in heaven is never looking bad, no matter what the state of the union is. Amen? That's true. It is. It's true. But if we're going to walk after the Spirit, you're going to have to walk in God and how he sees you and how you see him. What do we think? We are more than conquerors. It's amazing to me that we can sing that and go out defeated. One little thing, matter of fact, traffic. We're more than conquerors. The line is long. I'm in a hurry. All of a sudden, I'm not a conqueror anymore. Why? Because the state of this thing is bad. I'm going to be late. I don't want to have to wait. God said, it's all part of the journey. Enjoy me while you're going. We haven't learned to be joyful in him in all things. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's the reason some of us are not being strengthened. Everything originates from God. James 1, 17 and 18 says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above. How many? Every one of them is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and there are no shifting shadows with him. Everything, it comes from him. Look what I came up with. Well, where'd you get it? Well, I just came up with it. We haven't initiated anything that he hasn't given. So the whole thing becomes in better view when we see it this way. Romans 11, you can go to this chapter. Romans chapter 11, this will sort of put everything in order. Romans chapter 11, verse 35. Who has given him, God, who has given him that it might be paid back to him? He said, who is it that has given God something that will cause God to owe you something? I can answer that question. Nobody. No one. Who has given him in order that he has to give back because he owes him? Nobody. Why? Because it didn't originate with you. Amen. It didn't originate with you. He goes on and says this. He answers the whole question. Which page am I on? Right here. He said, who has given him that it might be paid back to him again? Then he says, from him, God, and through him, God, and to him, God, are all things. From him, through him, to him. From him, through him, through him, I can do. From him, through him, to him. Everything he wants from you, he's already given you to give him. You don't have to come up with it by yourself. Can't do it. Through him, from him, through him, to him. From him, through him, to him. How do we know that? We know that this part is we'll try to close here. First Peter says, be ye holy as I am holy. For I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. For years in my life, I read that as a commandment from God, that's something that I'm going to have to figure out how to be. And I never made it. Until the scriptures opened up. This be holy in its Greek layout means this. Are you ready? It means the act was done once and only once. The act was done once and only once. And it also means, the tense of the verb in the Greek, it also means the subject was acted upon by an outside source or power. I'm the subject, and I was acted upon by God. And then the last part of the verb in the Greek means take action on what you've been given. So he says, be holy. In other words, you're holy. Let me ask you the essence. Does he want holiness back from you? Yes or no? Absolutely. How are you going to do that? Use his holiness that he made you to give it back. You can't be holy without him. I've tried in my religious walk early in my life. I was straining everything to be holy. And Brenda could look at me sideways and I'd snap. Brenda Y'all with me? I mean, I got to be holy. He said to me, I got to be holy. Digging a ditch right there close to the house, and I hit a rock that was this big. And I'm like, I was wrestling, fasting, pottering. I was in that ditch. Brenda was standing there at the back door. She said, "If your Sunday school class could only hear you now." Don't act like you, hey. Don't be looking at me with no pious grin. I'll ask your wife or your husband. No, I'm messing with you. No, why is that? Why? Because I was born again, but I was formed by religion and not by the Spirit. Y'all with me? Be holy. Why? I've made you holy. I made you from an outside force. You're the subject. I'm the power. I made you holy. So be holy. Live out what I've given you. Give me back what I've given you. The righteousness. Righteousness. He took our unrighteousness and gave us his. We are the righteousness of God. The only reason, people get bothered with that. I mean, they just get bothered. They think you're arrogant. They think we're just telling the truth. Amen. Why? Because we just can't wrap around it. No. I'm looking at my state. Don't look at your state. Look at your standing with him. Yes. We've got to be able to look at how he sees us and not what everybody else is saying about us. Righteousness. He gave it to you. Bible says that your righteousness is like filthy rags. You can't be righteous enough. You can't be holy enough. That's the reason he has to make you and I holy to be able to be holy. See, that word about being holy, the other thing in that, it says receive from. To receive from. What? You're receiving from him holiness. Whenever he brings something to you that you are void in, that you lack in, it is not for condemnation. It is not, because he's not going to condemn you. The only reason the Holy Spirit brings that up in your life is because he sees that you're not connected with what God has already given you. Not to condemn you. One more thing, we'll go home. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Helper, to you. And he, when he comes," watch this, "he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin." Who is he convicting of sin? Everybody say it. The world. The world. He's convicting the world of sin. And it goes on, it says, and righteousness and judgment. And then he explains, this next verse explains what that means. Convicting, concerning sin, because they, everybody say they, concerning sin because they do not believe in me. He convicts the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Got it? Then he goes on and he says, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you, not they, and you, who's he talking to? He's talking to the believers. He's talking to the believers. Not, he's not talking to they, he's talking to you. He convicts you and I of righteousness. Because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. You no longer are able to see me. But I'll send the Holy Spirit to convince you that you're righteous. That's not a righteous deed. A righteous deed looks like this, convincing us that we need to give him back righteousness. He convicts the world of sin. He convinces you of righteousness. Boy, that's good stuff. It really, really is. He's the initiator, y'all. We got to close. He's the initiator. Whatever he needs from you, whatever he wants from you, whatever he desires from you, he'll give you to give it back. No amount of performance will ever get you to the place to get what he wants. It does not originate with you. It originates with him. Amen. Everything that he's looking from you, he's given you. It is from him, through him, in us, to him. And then it goes on, it says, to the glory of God. It's to his glory. Well, did y'all learn anything?
Yes.
Stand to your feet. See, if we do not understand, and I say this, if we do not understand what he's given me, I will not be able to give it back. And here's the problem with that. You and I, if we don't begin to think how he thinks about us and know his ways about how he feels about us and that he loves us, he's attracted to us, if we don't get that, you and I will be the stumbling blocks to our own growth. But we'll blame it on the devil. Or we'll blame it on the pastor. Or we'll blame it on the teacher. Or we'll blame it on some. If you and I don't grasp this thing about thinking about who we are, the way he sees us and what he's given us to be able to give back to him, if we do not learn this way, we will become our own stumbling block in growing. And we'll just look around and wonder, why hadn't God? We'll start blaming God. We'll start blaming other people. Why? That's just the way of human nature. But it's not the divine nature. So we got to see ourselves as he sees us. We got to see him as he really is. And we got to see him giving us good gifts that comes down from the Father. Amen. The good gift. He gives us everything that he's ever wanted from you, he's already given you. You have to attach to it, follow him in what he says, and you'll be able to give it back to him. Amen? Is anybody in here, you're not born again, you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt, but you are ready to say, I need Jesus in my life. I want to surrender my life. Anybody here? Anybody? Okay, we're all his people. Okay, you have your assignment, right? Start living the abundant life. You won't start living the abundant life until you see what he's put inside you. He's already given you that life to live out. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the richness of who you are. Thank you for being the initiator. Thank you for being the creator. Thank you for giving the good gifts to us. And thank you for making the deposits and making us holy, making us righteous, making us everything that we need to be in your light. That you joy and you rejoice over us with singing and dancing. Lord, give us an ear to hear you, an eye to see you. Lord, help us to recognize the fallacies and the schemes of the enemy, that we won't be ignorant to follow those. That we won't spend more time in the desert than we have to. Let us learn to enjoy you and rejoice in you no matter where we are. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you guys for coming out. Thank you so much. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.